All right, everyone, good morning. And a good Gebench Diyar and a Gemar Chasima Toivah to everyone. A good, really, really good new year for all. We should all be blessed with the one Bakasha that we want, and that's the coming of Mashiach. And may that happen. Take off from Yad Mamish. Okay, we are holding over here in the midst of Parshas Lech Lecha. We are in the middle of the story of the Brisbane Absarim. As we're spending quite a bit of time on the Brisbane Absarim, already a few classes, because obviously in this promise that the Eibishter made with Avram Avinu, Hashem's first covenant with the first Jew, contains within it the whole purpose, mission, end, and definitely a very Mashiach-tige parasha. Okay. All the way towards the end, last week we spoke what was the meaning of the sun setting, the darkness falling on Avram, the fear, the darkness that it fell upon him, all the various different Goliaths and all of that. Towards the end, Hashem returns, and we spoke how that was a hint to all the four Goliaths, and then Hashem says, Yodei Teid, Hashem tells him about Golus Mitzrayim. And last week we learned from the Bnei Yisrael, which was very special, that since Golus Mitzrayim is a root and a source for all the other Goliaths, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayir Bayamim HaRabim HaHem, it was in those many days that Rabim is Rosh, which it says by Golus Mitzrayim, it says Vayir Bayamim HaRabim HaHem, that there was, and Vayanchu B'nei Yisrael, and the Yidden, you know, were sighing and krechzing because of the Avoda. So Rabim is Rosh HaTevis, Roimi, which is Rome, Bavel, Yavon, and Mem is Madai. So which is all four Goliaths. And Hashem is saying that, and so Yetzias Mitzrayim was actually a very clear demonstration that you're not going to go out of the other Goliaths, because if we made it out of the Shoresh and the Makar of all Goliaths, from all the, that means the root and the source of all other exiles, definitely we will come out of the details of the specific exiles. So now we're holding by the Psukim where Hashem is actually informing Avram of the exile. And it says over here that he says to him about Golus Mitzrayim, Yodoya Teda, you should know, Ki ger yezaracho, that your children are going to be a ger, a stranger, be'eretz lo lahem, in a land that's not theirs. Vavadim, they're going to be enslaved. Ve'inuoysam, they're going to be inflicted. They're going to be tortured. Arba me'yashana, 400 years. And then he promises them that he's going to punish the nation that has done this. And afterwards, they will go out with a great possession. So the lashon over here, yodeya teda, the medrash, we didn't talk about this yet. The Medrash says on the words Yodoya Teda. What's the double language? Yodoya Teda. So the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah says, Yodoya, you should know, Shani Mefazram, that I am scattering them. Teda, you will know, Shani Mechansam, that I am gathering them. Yodoya, it is known to you, Shani Memashkenon, that I am making them as collateral, which means I am putting them in the possession of another nation. See, Mephazram just means scattered. That's the first thing he says. It is known to you that I will scatter them. It should also be known to you that I am gathering them. Then he says, it is known to you that I am making them as collateral, which is more than being scattered. Scattered means, you know, we all got dispersed. But to be collateral means to actually be under the jurisdiction of a different country. Another country is holding on to them. That's like when someone holds on to a security. He holds on to a mashkin, and he says, I'm not giving it back to you. I'm in control. So Hashem says, I'm the one who's giving them as collateral. Teda shani parkam. So you should know that I am redeeming them. Yodoya, it is known, shani mishabdam, that I am enslaving them. Teda shani goyalam. You will also know that I am redeeming them. So this is a third level. Not only are they held stuck in another country, but the other country is actually going to enslave them as well. It's one thing to be a prisoner, it's another one to become enslaved. So that's a next level. And yet, you should know that I am Goyalam. So the Yodoya Teda, the Medrash is saying is a triple, it's double language, which is conveying to Avram, however, six things, three negative and three positive. Hashem says, you should know I am enslaving them, I am making them, giving them as collateral, and I am in, sorry, let's start from the beginning. You should know that I am scattering them. I am giving them as collateral, and that I am enslaving them. Teda, and you should know that I will gather them back in. I will redeem them. I will free them, and I will redeem them. Okay? As a medrash. What exactly is the medrash? What does the medrash want? What is it saying over here? So there's something really, really phenomenal from the Maral in Sefer Netzach Yisrael in its first perek, in Perek Aleph, in which he says, states something really, really special. And he says like this, that the significance of Yodoya Teda is that the Eibishter wants to tell Avram Avinu that from the Golus itself, Yodua means what you know now, what you see now. Yodoya means you know this. Teda means you should know. So Teda means in the future. Yodua means what it is known. What we know today is Golus. That's what we know. We don't know Geula. We hardly remember Geula. We're in Golus already for 2,000 years. We've become so far Golus. So we know the Golus intimately. But Teda means you should know. But what's the Yodoya Teda? So what the Medrash wants to say, according to the Maral, is that from the Golus itself, you can extrapolate the Geula. That from the exile itself, you can see that Geula is going to come. And how can you see from the Golus itself that Geula is going to come? So I'm going to rephrase what the Maral is saying based on what the Rebbe used to say many times. And that is that, you know, the situation of Golus is an abnormal thing. It's not the way things ought to be. You know, the worst thing is when Chas v'Shalom is in a situation, when a person is in a pathetic, you know, ridiculous situation, and they have, God forbid, convinced themselves that that's the way it's right, that's the way it should be. Then they're helpless. As long as a person knows that whichever situation that they're in, and something that's not good, and that it is a sick situation, it isn't healthy, it isn't good, it isn't correct, so then at least they're seeking help, they're seeking to be healed, they're crying, they're not giving up, they're not making peace with the situation. And the Rebbe never wanted to let us make peace with Golus. Golus is not supposed to be. And the Rebbe would always tell us that we're a nation, that Yidna, Hashem's children, they should be Golum al Shulchan Aviyam, they should be exiled from their father's table. That's an abnormal thing. That's an upside down world. So if you see someone walking on the street on their hands, imagine you're walking down the street, you're walking to the market, or you're walking to the subway or whatever, and as you're walking down the street, you see a person walking, and instead of walking on their feet, they're walking on their hands. So what do you know? You're amused by it. It's really, really funny. This guy is an acrobat. He stands and he walks on his hands. But you know it's not going to last too long. It's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour. But in the end, eventually, this guy's going to... But when you see someone walking on their feet, you're not thinking about when it's going to end, because it's normal to walk on your feet. It's not normal to walk on your hands. Most people can hardly stand on their hand maybe for 10 seconds, if lucky, if you're leaning on a wall or something. You know, someone who's really good at it can stand for 3 minutes. Someone who's an acrobat can stand for 15, 20 minutes on his head. But how long can you stand on your head? So Golus has to be seen that way. The fact that Golus is here 2,000 years doesn't make it the normal thing. It's an abnormal world. The fact that the Eibishter is concealed and blocked when Maloi Kalaritz Kavodai, when Enoid Movadai, when there's nothing really but God, and God's glory is the reality of everything, Hashem's power is everything. The fact that we don't see it, and the world seems to be a world, a godless world, that is crazy. That doesn't make any sense. It has to give away. It doesn't make any sense that it is this way. So this idea, the Maral says, he says these three things that the Medrash is saying are all abnormalities. The Jewish people are one nation. There's no reason why the Jewish people are scattered. That's the first thing the Medrash is saying. From this that you see us being scattered, you right away know that this is abnormal. Teda, you will know that this has to end. This cannot stay this way. This is Mishigas. A people that are one should be living together. They should not be scattered across the world. It doesn't make any sense. Number two, a nation does not deserve to be stuck mamashkenin, to be a mashken, to be held against their will in another place. Every nation has their land, has their place. To be held against our will is a temporary time thing which shouldn't be. And if you see that being that the case, you know it's going to end. It's like when the Jews were in Russia, the Soviet, and enclosed behind the Iron Curtain. I mean, for many of the Jews there, it started chas v'shalom feeling that that was going to happen. As it was known, people would say that the Yidden in Russia, they can believe Mashiach is going to come, but they cannot believe that the Iron Curtain will open up. That's how rigid, that's how tight the grip of the Russian authorities were on the Yidden. And yet, what do we see? That too had geplatzt. That too came down. The Iron Curtain came crashing down. And Yidden were freed. They came out of it. So that's the idea of coming out of the mashkin. And the same is also with the enslavement. It's not right, it's incorrect for one nation to enslave another nation. And from this that you see you're being enslaved, from this you know you're going to come back. And then the Maral goes on to say something, which again was something that was a major theme in the Rebbe's teachings, and that is that Golos and Geula, embedded in the Golos itself is already the Geula. It's not two separate things. Because the Golos is only here, lichatchila, like we say, tzimtzum b'shvil hagiloi, the contraction and the darkness is only for the sake of the light. So the Golos is part of the Geula. And therefore, you have to say that in the Golos itself, you have the Geula. And that's this theme, this idea that the Medrash is saying, Yadua, from what you know now, you should extrapolate and look deeper and see Teda, you should see the seeds of the Geula. So he goes ahead and he says, Mamish the Indian of Goyla and Geula, that the Rebbe said always that Goyla is Golos, Goyla. Geula is the same word as Goyla, you just add the Aleph. You discover Hashem, the Alufay Shel Olam, you discover the Eibishter in the Golos, and then you come to Geula. In other words, in our world, if we can only find Hashem in all the experiences of our life, then we can live in Mashiach reality. And when we do it in our own little world, that's what the Rebbe wanted of us, when he said, open up our eyes. He says that today's days it is given, it is meglach, it is possible for every single one of every chassid, every single Jew, to start seeing Hashem in everything. And when you do that, you will start living a godly estate. Mashiach will come in your space, and when it will come in your space, it will inevitably be realized and recognized in the entire world across the globe. So the Maral says, he says that the word for galus is the word gala, and the word for geula is the word ga'el. So similar to what the Rebbe says, that goyla, geula is the same word. It's just that here there is you add an aleph to the goyla and then you have geula. The Maral says it a little different. He says gala and ga'al are almost the same word. It's just that gala is with a hey, and goyel is with an aleph. So goyel means to be redeemed with an aleph, and gala means gone into exile with a hey. And he says that's the difference between an aleph and a hey. So we're talking about a substitution of a letter. An aleph switching for a hey. When the aleph switches for a hey, we have gulas. When the hey switches back into an aleph, we have geula. What's the significance to it? So he says like this, Aleph means oneness, and that means everything is unified. The Jewish people are unified, all living in one land, in one place, in Eretz Yisrael. That's when we are an Aleph. We're all identifying with our source. All Yidden are behaving in a Jewish manner. When you look at a Jew, no matter who, from every type, all Yidden are openly connected to Hashem Echad. So that's geula, that's the aleph. Gala is a hay. What's a hay? A hay is spread out, because hay is number five. And what is number five? Number five means it's spread out in all four corners. You have four corners, four directions. So it's spread out everywhere. The opposite of the aleph. The aleph is one nekuda, one point. The hay is dispersion. However, the redeeming element, how do we know? Chas v'shalom, when Jews were broken, when we were scattered, when we were kicked out of our land, and when our achdus and our unity came crumbling and broke down, and we came to a state of dispersion. So how do we know that we're going to have geula? And the answer is, because even in galus, we're not a dalid, we're a hay. And what's the chilik of a dalid and a hay? A hay has a nekud, a hay is five. Five versus four. Four, the dalid malchiyos, for instance, the four kingdoms, They're totally scattered because they're four. Four corners, there's no unifying force. But the Jewish people, even though we are scattered all over the world, we still have a point in the middle. In other words, there's something that unifies Jews. And that's why everybody, Bechlal, the world knows that Jews always had a commonality. Even when Jews went, and these Jews became Sephardim, and these Jews became Ashkenazim, and these Jews became, you know, French Jews, and there were other Jews that were, you know, completely, you know, German Jews, and Polish Jews, and Hungarian Jews, and all, everybody with a different flavor, everybody with a different menhagim, and it's Hasidisha Jews, and Misnagdisha Jews, and other, Alamina Yidden, every type of Jew, and yet there's always been a certain singularity, a certain commonality that we all share together, and that's because of that middle point. A Yid is always happy when he sees another Yid. You know, when he's going somewhere, when he's and amongst them, he sees another Jew, he lights up. I mean, all of us. We had never met the Jew. The problem is when the Jew is next to us in a community that there are so many Jews, we don't light up when we see another Yid. But when we're far away and we're isolated, we feel cold, we see another Jew, we smile, our face lights up because there's a certain commonality. There is an Aleph that's binding and connecting all of us together. That's the Nekuda HaMerkazes. That's the central point of Achdus that unifies the Jewish people. That even during the time of Galus, we have a Koyach of Achdus, of unification. And that's how we know, Yodoya, from the Galus itself, as long as we see the Jews care, as long as we see that when, Chas v'Shalom, a Jew is in trouble, in the other corner of the world, Jews immediately make all kinds of appeals and all kinds of tzedakah campaigns to help another Yid in a far-fledged corner in the other end of the world. When Yidden are in trouble, we all rise to the occasion because it's somehow we're the nerves, our nerve to sense each other, to sense our brethren, is our. And especially, for instance, when we see a tzaddik like our Rebbe that spread a network of achdus, of unification, to reach and to collect, v'atem tilketu, from you to collect every single yid, mikatzvei tevel. So even though it's still that we haven't merited geula yet fully, but there is still a koyach ha-ma'ached, whether it's the tzaddik, whether it's the Jewish sensitivity that we have to each other. That's why the galus is even though you don't have an aleph, it's substituted with a hey. With the hey, the Maral says, has the nekuda in the middle that unifies the corners. And from there you will see, from the galus itself, since we've never lost our achdus, from there you will know that we will come together again and we will become an Aleph again. And I think this is a very, very important thing, especially when we're entering into this year, because this year is a Shnas Hakel. We just entered into a Shnas, a year of gathering, and our Rebbe made a very big deal about gathering, that Jews should gather in Shnas Hakel, even though we haven't seen yet the Beis HaMikdash. Hopefully this year we'll fulfill the mitzvah of Hakel in its full glory. That on the eighth year, as we read in the Chumash just yesterday, B'moyed Shnas HaShmita, at the conclusion of the Shemitah year, on Yom Tov of Sukkos, the after the B'motzah, in the first night, Chol HaMoed, all Jews had to gather in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melech, the king, would read, I think it was during the day, the first day, Chol HaMoed, the king would read for all the Yidden, would read the Sefer Torah, and he would read Sefer Devarim, and everybody was unified. So it's something that we should do even during time of Galus. But you see that the Hakel is so important because it's that power of Achdus, of unification, that's the ultimate redeeming quality of the Jewish people. That we have not essentially become splintered, fragmented, and disconnected. And it's that point of unity that holds us together. And that is what the Eibishter told Avram, Yodoya Taida. And that's the difference between the hay. That even in Galus we have a hay, which is connecting still to the Aleph. Now, this itself, that the Aleph is substituted by a hay, that too is meaningful and purposeful. In other words, definitely without any shadow of a doubt, you know, the Galus is miserable. The Galus is something that we are fed up with, we've had enough with. We cry ad masai, we don't want it. But obviously it was a necessary evil, so to speak. It was a necessary suffering that had its purpose. And that too is hinted to in this pasuk. Yodeya Teda. When the Eibush is telling Avram Avinu, the first Jew, Kigeri Yezaracho, Hashem is informing Avram Avinu, why the exile? Why the pizur? Why the scattering? If we are a nation of oneness, why couldn't we remain huddled together in Eretz Yisrael? Why do we have to scatter into all amongst all the nations? So the Bnei Yisachar in Chodesh Nisan says something really, really special on this pasuk of Yedoya Teda to explain this inyan. And he explains it as follows. I mean, it's a concept that's very, very common in Chassidus. The idea that Lo Higla Kodesh Baruch Hu as Yisrael Lebeina Umayis, the Eibushter did not scatter the Jewish people Lebeina Umayis Elo Sheyatoyis V'Aleim Gerim. That the reason we were scattered all over is to redeem all the sparks of oneness, the sparks of Hashem that have been in a state of disconnect. It's not enough just that Yidden live in a state of Achdus. There needs to be a unification. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have to sweep the entire world into the Achdus of the Eibishter. Bring a harmony into all of existence. And bring the whole world into the umbrella of Hashem Echad. And not Chas V'Shalom, things should be in a state of Pirud. So for that reason, so here's the idea. Initially he says, when Hashem created Adam Arishon, the initial intention was when Hashem put Adam Arishon in Gan Eden, that Adam Arishon should be a vessel to receive all the Eibishter's brachas. And the flow of godliness will flow in him. He will be the ultimate recipient. And it will be Achtoy V'chesed, only goodness and only kindness. Yirdefuni kol yemei chayai. And Adam Arishon, mankind, will be in a perfect, harmonious union with Hashem. And we would be the beneficiaries of his kindness. And he would live amongst us. And we would be in a deep relationship. And we would live happily ever after. If so, why did the Eibishter create Klipa and Sitra Achra? So he says, that was only never supposed to be part of our experience. It was always supposed to be just an external factor that's laying on the outside to warn and to frighten us that we shouldn't step out of line. In other words, there has to be a contrast. There had to be this inyan that if Chas V'Shalom, is not compliant and steps out and is acting in a way that shouldn't, so there can then they would get hurt by the chitzayim, by the forces of by the demonic forces, so to speak, that existed outside of the Gan Eden, that if the person would get spit out of Gan Eden, he would never want to do that again. Kind of that was the inyan. But then as a result of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, so what happened was, and then, even deeper than that, he says, as we spoke about this many times, the desire of Hashem was that through our avodah in Gan Eden, we would slowly but surely not only be the recipients of Hashem's light, but we would slowly but surely act as a powerful magnet, and we would pull the life out from the forces of unholiness that are existing outside. As we said before, they have a purpose why they exist, but slowly but surely, we would be diminishing it and diminishing it and diminishing it by pulling his energy, by redeeming it and bringing it into Kedusha, until it would be left completely lifeless and it wouldn't have any chayas on its own. And quite on the contrary, the little bit of chayas that it had before, the little bit of energy and life force that it had before, would be elevated and become joined in Kedusha. And then there wouldn't be any more a possibility of ra, of bad, and there would only be only goodness, and the snake himself would be a shamish gadol, as it was intended to be. That was Hashem's initial kavanah. When it came to chet of the Eitz Hadas, a terrible collapse happened, which was, of course, a continuation of the Shviras HaKelim. What happened was, instead of the human being drawing and pulling the energy of that which is in the outside into Kedusha, the exact opposite happened. The person empowered the other side by causing a major leakage in the forces in the pipelines of Kedusha, and a major contribution was made towards the side of the unholy, and they received an abundance of life force, far more than they were supposed to, far more than they should have, and they became empowered. And when that happens, Chas V'Shalom, that causes the other side to have power over good, over holiness and over goodness, which ultimately results in exile. That the forces of Klipa, the forces of unholy, are able to enslave that which is holy, because now they were being given energy far more than what they should have. He says this kind of leakage, this breakdown, this kind of all came from the Eitz Hadas. And he says, Eitz and Das is gematria, very interesting idea. It's gematria, chametz and se'or. If you take the word chametz is tzaddik is 90, mem is 40, so it's 130. So chametz is 138. The word sa'or is gematria, shin is 300. So together, 138 plus 300 is 438. Aleph and vav is 7. So it's 438 plus 7 is 445. Plus resh, 445 plus 200 is 635. When you take the word eitz hadas, he says, is also gematria. Hold on, give me a minute over here. Eitz hadas. Yeah. So the Tav, I'm looking at it inside now. Tav is 400. 490 is the tzaddik. Plus 70 is 560. Plus another 70 is 630. 640. Yeah. Exact gematria. Eitz hadas is the exact gematria of chametz sa'or. No, I'm sorry, without the vav. I made a mistake. Sa'or doesn't have the vav. Chametz and sa'or. Sa'or is yeast. So that's the what happened is the world became full of chametz and full of sa'or. Let's understand why. I mean, the Bnei Saskha doesn't give an explanation, but when you learn in Chassidus, we understand. What is chametz? Chametz is inflated ego. That's what sa'or does. Self-consciousness, self-awareness. So that's what Eitz Hadas did. It made us be not in touch with our source and became chas v'shalom inflated with self. And that's what Eitz Hadas is. It's amazing. The exact gematria of chametz and sa'or. And he says, more specifically, he says, why is it split into two, chametz and sa'or? Because there is a male and a female of klipa. Just like in Kedusha, Hashem created Adam and Chava, which were holy male and holy female. Hashem created chametz and sa'or, which is the male klipa. Chametz is the male klipa, and sa'or is the female klipa. And together, this is the mess that the Eitz Hadas created. Okay. The world was in this influence of the chametz and the sa'or for after the chet of the Eitz Hadas for a long time, until Avram Avinu came. When Avram Avinu began, and he began to turn the tide. In other words, until that time, Klipa was only becoming stronger and stronger and stronger and becoming more dominant over Kedusha. Again, the intention L'chatchila was that it should be very quickly, we should suck the life out of it. And it should be integrated into holiness. Instead, because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, Chametz and Sa'or, the whole world became Chametzdig. And now you have an inflated Klipa Digger world until Avram Avinu comes. What does Avram begin? He begins to bring the world to a recognition of Hashem Echad. And as a result of that, what happens? He starts Vaasa Nefesh Asher Asu Becharan. He begins collecting the sparks of holiness back into Kedusha. And that's how he made Gerim. He literally was Megayer them, taking them from the other side and bringing them out into the Tzad HaKedusha, into the side of holiness. And then he says, that's the meaning of, we spoke about it earlier, it says, V'nivrechu b'chal kol mishpachos adama, all the families of the world will be blessed in you. But the word v'nivrechu also comes from the word, they will become grafted into you. That means that you will select the sparks, the energy, the life force that's in kol mishpachos adama, in through the entire humanity that is till now in a state of klipa, you're going to start v'nivrechu, you're going to graft them. It's like you take a tree and you graft it into another tree. It becomes part of the other growth, the other tree. So the here is you're going to take all these forces and bring them, in the end, you're going to swallow the entire world and make the whole world Jewish, in the sense meaning not necessarily Jewish, but monotheistic, and the belief in Hashem Echad. And that's the tikkun of this. So that's why Hashem tells Avram Avinu, you should know that this avoda that you began, that's why Hashem is making this Brisbane Absurd. And telling him it's not going to be complete until your children are going to have to go into Golos. In other words, they're going to have to actually go into the territory of all this klipa that's all right, I'm back. I'm sorry. This is what happens over here sometimes. In any case, we left off over here. We're talking about so in order for Yidden to complete this avodah of bringing the whole world into holiness, Hashem tells Avram Avinu, Yadeya teida ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem. They're going to go to a land that's not theirs. Which means he's telling him about the galus, because in order to really fix something, you have to get it. You have to have an on-site. That's what it is. You have to have an on-site operation. You can't fix things from a distance. So that's why the Eibishter tells him, your children are going to be be'eretz lo lahem. And in this enslavement, when Jews are going to be enslaved in the other nation, they're really going to suck that nation dry. They're going to absorb all the chayos that's in that energy and bring it into kedusha, like what happened by Mitzrayim. That's why Hashem is telling you, "Achakach teitzu b'rechush gadol." We're going to go out with a great rechush. That's that great rechush. Now, the main nitzutzei kedusha that has been taken into captivity through the chet of the Eitz Hadas, that has become stuck in the was altogether, we know it's resh 288 sparks of holiness, but 202 of those sparks were in Mitzrayim, and that's why it says when Jews went out of Mitzrayim, it says vegam erev rav alu imahem, and also a mixture of multitudes. So the Arizal says rav is 202. That was the extraction that we extracted. But here's another thing which I never knew, which the Bnei Yisachar brings. It says also by Yosef Atzadik, it says, Vayitzpor Yosef Bar, and Yosef gathered together a lot of grain. So the word the bar is also Reish Beis. Yosef already did the work to gather together those 202 sparks. He gathered them. He didn't have to like elevate them, but Yosef had already done. By Yosef going early to Mitzrayim, he had already done the preliminary work of gathering. Yaakov also says when he goes to see Yosef, he says, Rav oid Yosef benichai. My son Yosef is still alive. But he says, Rav oid. Not only is he alive, he has extra life because he's collected all those sparks of holiness. And therefore, when the Geula of Mitzrayim came about, we've taken, cleaned it all out. And the truth is, at that moment, we would have already, since what was left over was only a tiny bit, and all the Gullius, when we spoke earlier, were already Nichlal and Gullus Mitzrayim, as we said earlier, that it says, Vahi bayamim harabim haheim, those many days, Rabim is Gematri, is Rosh HaTevis, Roimi, Bavel, Yavon, and Madai, which means all the Gullius were there. We really had a grip, and the rest of the 86 sparks, which we need to collect, which weren't collected yet, would have been automatically elevated and sublimated. had the Yidden not sinned with the eagle. And when the Yidden sinned in the eagle, they caused another collapse. And for that, Yidden have to go in the Gullus to finish cleaning up the mess, which happened after the second collapse. Which means the snake got again, the chametz and the seur, the Eitz Hadas prevailed again. Now here's an amazing thing. There are 365 days in the year. Yidden are commanded to get rid of the chametz. Okay, Shasa Yamim. Yidden are commanded to get rid of the chametz for 7 days. 7 days of Pesach. When do we do that? By Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the idea of redemption is to get out of the chametz, to get out of the disconnect state. That's Geula. As long as we're living, Chas V'Shalom, under the spell of chametz, we're living with a blockage, we're living with inflated ego, with living with a self-consciousness that's blocking us from feeling the Eibishter there, that's being entrapped. That's Golas. So when we went out of Mitzrayim, Hashem told us kol se'or v'chol, that to get rid of chametz and se'or, male klipa and female klipa. When you get rid of the chametz and the se'or for 7 days, in other words, the 7 days of Pesach, we're not living under the spell of the Eitz Hadas, the Gematria Eitz Hadas. You never thought of that. During these 7 days of Pesach, there's no Eitz Hadas. But what's left over? We have 365 minus 7. So there's 358. So there's 358 days that the Klipa still has control over the world. Not on Pesach, but the 365 days. Those 365 days are Gematria Nachash. Not 55, 358. Nachash is 358. So the Nachash still has control and a grip over the world on the 358. Until when? Until Mashiach comes, and Mashiach is also Gematria 358. Mashiach is the same Gematria as Nachash, and Mashiach comes to battle and to remove the Chametz from the world completely. And then there's V'hoi Hashem L'melech HaKol Ha'aretz. But all of this, the Eibush is telling this to Avram Avinu, Yodei Ateida Ki Geir Yezaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. That we're going to have to struggle with the Nachash. We're going to have to struggle with this. It's going to be a tug of war. Until we're finally going to be able to extract, redeem, and elevate every aspect of creation. And the completion of that is going to be Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, we're going to complete that Avodah. And that's when we're going to have really completed the Achrei Ken Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. We will all go out B'Rechush Gadol, the great Rechush of the Geula, which means there won't be any element anymore that remains in Golos. Every aspect of the creation and every aspect of existence will have had its redemption and had its Geula. Okay, we're going to leave for now. Bezus Hashem, next week, Thursday, is the day after Yom Kippur. So I don't see why we can't have a share. Bezus Hashem will have a share on Thursday. And then afterwards, we'll see on Sukkis. Everyone should have a Gemar Chasima Tov and Agud Gebenchtyor. And we should merit to see already the complete and total redemption.